I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is reality? You know, most everyone agrees there are two ultimate opposing powers, light and dark, life and death, truth and untruth, etc. But most everyone is wrong. There's only one power. Call it light or life or truth. Its only source is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You see, darkness isn't a power. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of power. That's why darkness is just no match for, you know, a little lit match. Untruth is simply not truth. Life isn't the absence of death. You first have life. And when life leaves, we're left with death. Now, last week we saw that Scripture tells us that we are shadows. That's the absence of light. So the Father of lights is currently the Father of us shadows, showing us the light of Christ so that we'll free willingly be filled with light. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You see, Father God wants His shadow children home in His presence. But shadows simply vanish in the light. And that's a huge problem because God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. Now, enlightened people demand justice. In fact, the greater the light, the deeper the desire. Perfect people would demand perfect justice. So the crueler the crime, the stiffer the sentence must justly be. So it stands to reason that the ultimate crime of adulterous treason against a perfect, all-loving Creator, even killing Him when He came to save us, requires that a perfect price be paid. But darkness left us helpless to pay. Left us helpless to pay what true justice must have. So Jesus came and was crucified in the process, as part of the process of paying that price. Scripture says that God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As fully human, Jesus could offer what mankind owed. And as fully divine, He could afford what justice was owed. But how could He be fully human and fully God? Not 50-50, but 100-100. A lot of people, they make this argument that it can't be. How could God die on a cross and observe from heaven? The quick answer is the Trinity. But then skeptics roll their eyes. He's a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. Last week we talked about the daily analogy the Lord gives us to help us to comprehend this conceptually. Dreaming. We saw that's when my subconscious self sends my image self on a journey to interact with the otherworldly creation of my resting self. Three activities in one mind. It's a neat analogy. Helps us to comprehend. And as we saw last week, everything in creation, we are told, is created to empower us with profound comparables to every aspect of God's invisible qualities. That's what the Scriptures say. So what do you say? We take on the Trinity infinity, invisibility, and reality itself. Because how do shadows really connect with and relate to a God who is invisible, inaudible, and inconceivable light? And how do you find comfort? How do you put confidence in the personal presence of a God who has to deal with 7.58 billion other earthlings? Let's begin with that classic comparable already read. We have heard from Jesus and declare to you, God is light. But think about it. If creation was designed to reveal God's invisible qualities, and he tells us his comparable is light, and the brilliance of his glory, a rainbow, well, then it stands to reason that as we discover more about light, the Lord can reveal more about himself. Cool. For instance, just 97 years ago, it was discovered that light is simultaneously wave and particle. They call it wave-particle duality. But before that, energy and matter? not 50-50, but 100-100? Not possible. Until it was. Now everyone accepts it. And if we look really close at a TV screen, we'll see there are tiny clusters of the three primary colors of light: red, green, and blue. That's what RGB stands for. And each little RGB trinity changes its intensities to create every other color we can see. Sony even named their discovery the Trinitron. And when an RGB trinity combines in perfect unity at full intensity, not 3/3, but 3 100%, it shines a full spectrum of pure, brilliant light. Let me demonstrate. Oh, I've been waiting to do this. I ordered this for you. I had it overnighted. It's a little color, light color mixer. We have to do something here. Let me see. Okay, we're going to have to shut the lights off. Don't be scared. Here we go. Okay, let's start with a red light. Okay, when we mix red and blue, what are we going to get? Well, we're going to get magenta. Now, if we mix blue and green, what are we going to get? We're going to get cyan. And if we mix green and red, what are we going to get? How many of you guessed yellow? Because this isn't like paint. It works differently. This is light. What's going to happen when we pull that blue in? What's going to happen when we mix the last one of the three primaries? Well, you get pure white light. Look what it does with the shadow. Look there, you can see all the colors on the shadow going through the white. Pure white light. Okay, light's back on. You see, a big hurdle we have in trying to connect with God is the fact that we're currently temporarily... I forgot to move that! Let's back up. I was trying to figure out what all the hand waving was over there. Okay. Part of our problem we have trying to connect with God is this guy over here waving his arms. Other than that, big hurdle we have trying to connect with God is the fact that we're currently temporarily trapped in three dimensions of space and one dimension of time. And it's impossible to visualize beyond our own dimensional experience. If we lived on a one-dimensional line, take a look here, we would know forward and back, but not left and right. In fact, anything on our line would be a dead end. And if a 2D person, two-dimensional person, turned right and went around it, we as Line people would be mystified as to how they disappeared from the line and reappeared on the other side. In Euclidean geometry, every time you add a 90-degree angle, you arrive at the next higher dimension. So in a two-dimensional world, a 2D world, we could visualize forward and back and left and right, but not up and down. So a wall stops us dead. Now, if a 3D person, like us, goes up and over the wall, oh, 2D people would be equally mystified. Now, being 3D people, we can only see width and length and depth. And that's why, after Jesus' resurrection, we saw this last week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were mystified and terrified. But with just one more dimension of space, all you need to do is turn 90 degrees to the right. You walk right in the room, right past that locked door. In fact, a mathematician can prove on paper that a fourth dimension would allow him to turn a basketball inside out without breaking its surface. But he still can't picture it in his 3D head. And I'm so glad that we cannot picture it. You know why? Our inability to comprehend this complexity strengthens the claims of Christianity. You see, a fully comprehensible God trapped in his own creation, restricted to three dimensions of space, one dimension of time, couldn't really be God. As the proof, he'd be just a man-made thing. This is why the Bible, without contradiction, teaches both the Lord is near to all who call on him and, well, the Almighty is beyond our reach. You see, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. The fact that the eternal realm is beyond our dimensions and comprehension is what assures you that he's able to watch and listen and delight and interact and intimately involve himself in each detail of your life. He is not a passive God. Just picture a basketball with only an equator line. That's like our one-dimensional timeline. God operates apart from that at the, what do we say, top? At the top. And now, having no restriction of before and after, he can be intimately, eternally connected with each split second of every created child on their timeline, from first to last. Without his lines ever getting crossed when we all pray at once, like, say, when there's a pandemic. And according to Einstein's theory of relativity, the speed of light is unapproachable. But if we could, time would become one immortal now. That's our home. That's where Dad lives. He says, God alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light. But he's sure determined to get us shadow babies there. We just need to bring our darkness into the light and wrap ourselves in the light of Christ. You see, from the moment that you are conceived to the moment you're retrieved, you have a personal private line connected to each split second of your life in between. Of course, it's up to you whether or not you choose to use it, but he'll be waiting on the other end. No one else to talk to on your line. We can't picture an unapproachable immortal dimension, and I'm glad. But for the sake of analogy, to understand conceptually, we can picture a lesser 2D reality. We can play God here. And pretend we're looking down on a two-dimensional reality, like on a computer screen. We'll call it Flatland, like the book. Maybe you've read it. That's where I stole this next part from. The Flatlanders, well, they know right and left, width, and they know up and down, length, but they have no comprehension of depth. So when they look at each other, they can only see a fluctuating flat line profile. But us, as creator, you know, living in this 3D realm, knowing and seeing the ins and outs of depth, we actually know each Flatlander better than they know themselves. And regardless of what they choose to believe, their existence depends on us. We created the program and control the power cord. Now, and they could deduce that. They could deduce that we exist since no capacity exists within Flatland to have created itself. We could be so close, very near, face to face even. But because they just can't visualize our beyond reach third dimension, well, they'd have to trust. But we could upload a two-dimensional image of ourselves and go to them, like I'm doing with you right now. I'm actually two-dimensional on your screen. But your 3D godlike powers allowed you to, in real time, experience the whole thing as though it's 3D. Well, we could upload an image of ourselves, go to them, get a webcam. We could use our 2D image to tell them who we really are and why we created them and how much we love them. But since they'd only see us as lines, we'd need to explain how, well, this is just a flatland perspective. So many simple truths would seem so mystifying. You know, I am before all things. It's true. What is seen was not made out of what is visible. Sure enough, I chose you before the creation of your world. Yep. I'd have to explain that I'm just an image of your creator who lives beyond Flatland in an inconceivable three-dimensional kingdom where something called depth goes on forever. But if and when you violate your conscience and go astray in Flatland, well, there's a simple way to get back with the program. Restart and repent and reboot. And when I leave, I'm not really going away. In fact, I came to tell you how close he really is and how near we've always been. He's watching us right now, in fact. And, well, he is me. And I am him. We're a twinity. A biune God. And we have a plan to free you from Flatland with something called a 3D printer. Until then, here in Flatland, well, you'll have to live by faith. You know, the Apostle Paul's desire is that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, that's a 1D, and length, that's a 2D, and depth, that's a 3D, and height. Wait. Is that four? You know, in Romans, when Paul talks about height and depth not separating us from God's love, he uses the word for height. But here, not the same word. Here he uses the word for on high, as in he ascended on high, same word. With power from on high, same word. And from on high, same word. He has visited us. It appears Paul wants us to comprehend the width and length and depth and on high. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, who is three primaries of one pure light. And you know what's on high? God's throne. In fact, Moses and Ezekiel both saw the throne and described it the same. Ezekiel said, a throne of sapphire above the expanse. You know who else saw God's sapphire throne? The Apostle John writes about it in Revelation. He says, before me was a throne in heaven. The one who sat there had the appearance of jasper. J.B. Phillips' translation says diamonds. John later says, the glory of God and its brilliance was like a jasper, but here he adds, clear as crystal. Not just jasper, though, and ruby. Interesting, the brilliance of jasper and ruby. How can the one who shines red as rubies also shine clear as diamonds? Read on. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne of sapphire. Ruby red, emerald green, and sapphire blue, shining crystal clear light. Well, I'll RGB. Talk about a great white throne of judgment. Ezekiel says, like a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And John says, the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb that looked as if it was slain, remember, you know, blood red, is its lamp. This is a life of faith here in 3D Hill Valley, we'll call it, is designed that way. In fact, the only way we can respond to the Lord is by trusting what He's told us, that He's put us in a place of necessary faith for training, as a loving father would, so that we can humbly mature and follow and grow brighter. In fact, look at this. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever, like a diamond in the sky. So, what is reality? Well, it's what remains in the presence of the pure light of perfect power. After all, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. That's reality. That's power. And that's our home. But now's the time to turn to the right and follow the light. So let's do what we came to do and get in the game. And let's pray. Father God, we praise you and worship you as you bring us into our eternal home. Holy Spirit, until that day, continue to help us to comprehend the full spectrum of your light, your life, and your love. Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day we'll be with you and like you and see you as you are. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.